Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 31st of March, recording at 5:41 p.m. British Standard Time. Well, now, I said that I'd start off this audio with the currencies because there has been some interesting and dramatic action here today, which is important. It does have potential ramifications for other markets. Now, the first one is a little bit of a personal embarrassment, and that is that the U.S. dollar plunged against the yen here today, breaking underneath those previous lows right around the 105 level. And once that happened, it fell really quite sharply down to 103.42, and is at 104.07 as I now speak. Now that's taking it beneath the February low. And if you've had that chart, if you've been looking at that chart, just a quick recap, it was down around 105 in the middle of February. There was a lot of intervention going on. The Japanese achieved a bear squeeze, pushed it pretty quickly, and pushed the dollar back up over 112, and then came out with comments they were cutting back on intervention or words to that effect, and we had it fall all the way back down, show a little loss of momentum. And 2 days ago, I went in and bought the U.S. dollar against the Japanese yen on the basis that it was oversold, and might well get a bounce while saying that it was a risky trade and that I was really relying on the Japanese to come in and intervene. Well, they haven't done so yet, and so this is not looking like a clever idea here, to put it mildly. I'm holding on to the position for the moment. I'm in here. Now, what are the Japanese actually doing in this? Is this a bungled policy? Are they pulling out in terms of intervention generally because they feel the economy is so strong, or they've come to some sort of accommodation with other central banks, including the Fed, that they're not going to intervene anymore? Are they cutting their losses on intervention, if they are losses? What is it all going to be? Well, now, I don't know, and I don't think anybody else really does, except possibly the Japanese and the Ministry of Finance and the Bank of Japan. And we're getting some mixed signals coming out from them, needless to say, and not for the first time. But what I do know is that this is not so hot for the operating profits of Japanese companies, and they will be bleating about this, and that will be of some concern for Japan. And also, it is not yet clear that Japan has emerged from its long deflation. Now, tactically, we've got also another question there. Is the BOJ and the MOF, are they engaging in some form of tactics rather than drawing a line in the sand or on the chart at 105? Are they going to play cat and mouse in here? I remember discussing this with Mark Lowry yesterday and saying that while it was a little bit risky to have the trade, if I were in charge of the BOJ's intervention operation, heaven forfend, what I'd do is let the support break. We both agreed on this. Let the support break, and that would embolden the dollar bears, so you get them fully short, and then you go in and squeeze with some fairly aggressive intervention. Is that going to happen or not? I don't know, but I'm going to hang around here a little longer just to see myself. What I also have noted, and I imagine you have as well, is that a lot of people on the financial television programs and in reports that have been coming out have been saying, oh, you know, if the 105 level goes, then it's going to be straight down to 100 and then on to 95 and lower. And those people will be emboldened by this decline. And will that actually take place? Well, they have to be in with a chance, and that's not a forecast on my part, but I'm more interested in what the BOJ is likely to do in here, and also the psychological implications if we don't get that sort of downside follow through. Now, my other currency position, also under the water at the moment, shows how tricky this is in this environment, at least here for me at the moment, because we do not have medium-term trends, and it's always easier to run medium-term trends. You trade with the trend, and when you need a little temporary setback within the trend, you can accumulate and maybe lighten a little bit if it gets overextended. But basically, running with a trend is a whole lot easier than range trading, and this we've had some pretty choppy activity in these currency markets over the last many, many months in here. But my other currency position is Euro yen, which I had picked up all that not all that long ago. I think it might have been last week or the week before last. But at any rate, that was around the 131 level, and I was looking pretty sick here this morning. Got down to 126.50, 57, but has since rebounded, and it's currently at 128.02. That's not looking brilliant, but it shows a lot of tail on the candlestick chart, as you will see, and suggests that maybe this is getting some loss of downward momentum. What it indicates, it is getting some loss of momentum down at these levels. But the key point on all this is that my whole case is predicated on a belief that the BOJ was not going to abandon all this intervention, and that remains to be seen. Okay, how about the euro dollar? Now, I don't have a position there, but I put the chart up because what was interesting is that last. Oh, and actually, it was on Monday. We had the euro fall to a new reaction low following that key day reversal. You remember back in February, you can still see that on the chart, and you can see the warning sign key also right at the high in January in that peak. And but I'd also mentioned that there was a fair amount of initial chart support around the 120 level. You can only see a little bit of that on this 6 month graph because I wanted to focus on the most recent activity here. But so we've had a sort of a da we've had a downside failure in here, and today the euro is really quite firm against the US dollar. Now this is providing some reasonably good evidence that the dollar's rally has certainly paused in here, at least for the short term. Now, these are not easy to work with, but I think to convince people that the euro has bottomed, we need to see this back above the 125 level, and it's got a good chance of getting there. Now, as I've said all along, when you get the markets in a corrective phase, as we had with the euro coming off its highs, that these corrections can last for easily 3 to 6 months, where you get a lot of choppy ranging activity during which sentiment will swing, with some people saying, "No, that's it, it's all over, where the whole thing's going into reversal," and others saying, "No, it's just a longer pause, medium-term correction, and the other trend will reassert itself." Well, my big picture view, as you know, on this is that we've seen most of the dollars decline for the reasonably near term. In other words, for the medium term, I'd say the next couple of years, we've seen most of the dollars decline, but probably not all. And I'm not yet in the school talking about a U.S. dollar collapse. That could come maybe later, but I don't see that as being a serious threat over the next year or two. Okay, I'm more interested also in the ramifications of these possible moves, but let me just run through the fourth chart that I have here with sterling dollar. And you see that the pound has repeatedly encountered support to just underneath this 180 level on that chart and has firmed. The dynamics have been on the downside, so again, this is a tricky call in here, and we'd really need to see the dollar back up above this sort of say 186 level to further validate that support down in the one sort of 179 to 180 region here, and I would expect more ranging overall. But I always get questions: is Sterling going to push straight back up to the 190 level? Well, I doubt it's going to push straight back up there, but it's put it this way, it's got as good a chance of getting back up and testing that 190 level as it has getting a similar move on the downside, and in the very short term the odds have swung in favor of the in favor of the upside. Now, in terms of possible ramifications for all of this, yen Strength would be a negative for the Japanese stock market, so I have to be concerned about that. And also, euro strength would be a negative for the European region's growth prospects and therefore the European stock market. Dollar weakness would give a firm tone for the most part to a number of these commodities, obviously gold and others. But gold is now steady against most currencies, and it's not just a US dollar story. As you know, as far as a soft dollar is concerned for the US economy, and the market, it's not going to do it any harm at all because it's not regarded as a crisis. Okay, now I have just two other charts which I will mention related to that Hong Kong Hang Seng Index trade that I have on. And I put up the charts of HSBC. I put up a weekly chart which shows the break of the uptrend and the topping activity. And it also looks a bit oversold in the short term, and you'll see on the daily chart that it's also the HSBC has firmed up. And while up at the highs, I remember Peter Bennett and others pointing out to me that HSBC, when HSBC was up at its highs back in February, and then pointing out that it was expensive for the sector because it was trading at about 22 times earnings then, or 20 times earnings. But it's now, say, 1592, you'll see on that Bloomberg data that I posted on the historic PE and 15.6 on the forward, but it's yielding almost 4%, and that's might well attract some investment demand. But this share I will watch closely, having that Hang Seng Index trade on this, because being 33% of the capitalization weighting of the HSI index, that where goes HSBC will almost certainly determine where the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index goes. Okay, what have we got in here for with stock markets today? Again, mixed action overall, but the evidence more often than not is on the side of sort of generally firm. Now, the yen, I don't think, had broken down while Tokyo was still. Beg your pardon, the dollar had not broken down against the yen while Tokyo was still trading. But at any rate, we had the Japan up just very small, 21 points here today. Tiny gain, but that second section index, my God, I wish they'd had a future in that all along, because that's been up for 24, I think, 24 out of 25 days. It's an absolutely amazing run. The Japanese index, the Nikkei rather, and the topics look like they're consolidating gains in here, and we may see a little bit more of that. So I'm resisting the temptation to take that profit, although it has to be said that more often than not, as I've experienced in recent weeks in this choppy market environment, that when you don't have a good gain that occurs quickly, that you can very easily lose it in this environment. It's not like the persistent trending phase or more consistent trending phase that we had, say last year and at the beginning of this year. So I may be making the same error of being too relaxed about it, and especially once I protect the position, once I with an in-the-money stop. Then I feel I've effectively got a free ride in here. But certainly, I'd be richer today if I'd been booking the short-term gains that have occurred very quickly in the number of trades that I've had over the last month or two, whereas last year it really did pay to run those positions at the beginning of this year. Okay, European markets. Mostly on the minus side, but nothing big. One of the softer ones is FTSE. That's the UK market. It's down 27 points, but that's only 0.61 of a percent, so it's not that serious. Wall Street, after yesterday's gains, giving up a little bit of ground in here today. 34 on the Dow, 2.3 on the S&P as I speak, and 8 on the Nasdaq Composite Index. They were a bit disappointed by the Was it Confidence Figures? I think it was Confidence Figures, this statistic du jour stuff. Yeah, there was something called ABC Consumer Confidence, which was lower than they expected, and the Chicago Purchasing Manager data was lower than expected, as were factory orders. So the growth wasn't as strong as people had been hoping for, and that's been a little bit of a damper for the stock market in here today. Moving on to the bonds, though, it's firmed them up a little bit, but not all that much. Half a point on the U.S. 30-year long bond, and the JGBs are actually down a little bit today. I have short positions in both of those, feeling that we're in a top development stage for bond prices. In other words, bond yields are bottoming out. Elsewhere, now the metals, gold. Gold is very steady in here today. It's currently at 426, so it's moving back close to its high. And I think it had reached that high when we had the euro up around the 128, 129 level against the dollar. And with that rate now at 123, gold's going back and testing its high. So it shows it's just improving against other currencies as well. And silver with a small backwardation is very much the in-form precious metal in here right now, doing better than gold's been doing, considerably better than gold in recent months, and 792 and a half, 790 right now, but it sets a new high. So it has broken up out of this little sideways trading range. Looks very, very steady. That's another tradable signal. I'm not playing it at this time because I just hate to pay up for silver, but I've said it, it's a tradable signal, as was the earlier breakout several weeks ago. Elsewhere in these precious metals, we're a little softer in the palladium. Now I've got a delayed feed on this in terms of price data, but that's down 185 to 287.25, still ranging right near the recovery highs, and I doubt it'll come down too much here. I notice the platinum is steadier here, back above $900, up 7 in here today at 904, and a platinum strong that tends to take palladium with it, although palladium in recent weeks has more often than not outperformed the platinum. But obviously, with what you see is you get an impulse move with these, with just about everything, and then you get a pause and a consolidation, and then if the trend is still intact, you get another impulse move. Okay, currently showing 288 on the palladium. That's picked up a little bit, just down a dollar. And on the metals page, that is currently showing some mostly gains in here today, influenced by the dollar, not surprisingly. Tin, again, the outstanding performer, up $110, $84.40, and we've got $105 backwardation on that, again indicating the shortage. We've still got a backwardation in the lead and not in the aluminium. We do still have a backwardation in the nickel and also in the copper, again indicating these nearby shortages. So these are just holding up very, very well. Now, in the grains, I'm chagrined to see just a rampant corn in here today. It's currently trading at 319 and a quarter, up 7. It has been as high as 321 and three quarters. Soybeans, where I've been chancing my luck here, in the sense that it got soybeans, you remember they got overextended the week before last, and I decided to hold on, just moving up the trailing stop, but giving it a fair amount of breathing space. Well, it got uncomfortably close to that stop here today. It obviously hit some other people's stops and fell like a stone to 987. That's against a close at 1016 yesterday. So it got down to 987, but it subsequently bounced back to 10.10. So it's still down 6 cents on the day, but that's leaving some tail on the chart. It looks like, well, I'm hoping that's a last flush out, not least because this is this trade, profits from this trade, which are protected. Well, I've got some profits protected about it with a trailing stop in here, but obviously hoping a fair amount more, not least because this gain's going to go straight into one of the charitable funds. Okay, and that's pretty much it. So have a splendid evening.